The Record Stands by Unperfect Wolf, read by Kath. A Hockey RPF featuring Jordan Eberle and Taylor Hall. The first time Jordan wakes up, all he can feel is pain. His stomach rolls with it, his mouth salivating as his body fights to not throw up. His knee is on fire, his shoulder a sharp, blinding pain, and his face hurts. He wakes up 2 days later, though he doesn't know it, and this time the pain is a dull throb that slowly makes its way through him, like it's fighting through molasses. His mother is sitting beside him. "Muh," he tries to talk, even though his mouth feels like someone had left a giant cotton ball in it for the past forever. His mother jolts to attention, leaning into the bed but not touching him. "Jordy, honey," she says soft, like when she told him his childhood dog had died. He licks his lips, but it doesn't help. His tongue feels just as dry and chapped as his lips do.
"What?"
"Oh, honey," his mother says, and he's not sure he's ever seen such sad eyes on her. She touches his forehead, shifting a stray curl that was caked to him in sweat. "You're in the hospital," she tells him, and then feeds him an ice chip. Nothing has ever felt so good. Jordan sucks on it and shifts, and shifting wakes up all the pain he can sort of remember. It flares along his left side, radiating from his knee. He gasps, then gags, then gasps again, his hands clenching so tight he's sure he's cutting into his palms. He can't see straight, so he closes his eyes. Eventually, the pain settles down again, back to the slow background throb, and Jordan can breathe again. He's still gasping a little, but he doesn't feel like he's going to pass out from pain or from lack of oxygen anymore. He doesn't look down at his leg, but instead looks up at his mother. "How bad?" he asks, his voice gravely and cracking. His mother sighs, but he can feel the tension radiating off of her. "Honey, don't worry about that now," she tells him, and that alone tells him it's going to be worse than he's ever imagined. "How bad?" he asks again. "Your knee's done in," she tells him. He knows what that means. He doesn't need to know the specifics, the tone, the words. He knows. At age 17, Jordan Eberle is through with hockey. He played the last game of his career on March 29, 2008, and he didn't even manage to score a goal in the game before it all ended for him. 2 months later, and Jordan doesn't know what to do with himself. It's June 20th, and he's restless, still mostly bedridden from his second knee surgery. He keeps turning on the TV, only to turn it off again, because he doesn't want to know about the draft. He doesn't. He watches it anyways. He watches as guys he knows and has played against and with get called onto stage and handed sweaters with team names that can't mean anything to him anymore. The 22nd draft pick goes to the Edmonton Oilers. They take a defenseman named Justin Schultz, who Jordan vaguely recalls is on the NCAA track. That night, Jordan dreams of orange and blue, and the fact that he'll never be there hurts more than it has since the first night after his mother told him it was over. He dreams of flying down the ice, of a stick in his hands, of tic-tac-toe passing that ends in a goal. He dreams he's flying, and when he wakes up, no one is around to see him cry. In August, Jordan has to go talk to an admissions specialist at the University of Alberta, Edmonton. His mom wants him to go to school in Calgary, but Jordan needs out. He needs to do this on his own. He needs to be away from his old teammates, be away from his sisters and brother and his mom and dad, and be away from the memories of off-season training and summer trouble with kids who can still play hockey. He had his third surgery on his knee 2 weeks before. He's only been out of rehab a couple of days, but he's a pro at it by this point. His older sister drives him to Edmonton, and she's quiet the whole way. She drops him off as close to the Edmund building as she can and tells him to call her when he's done. The offices are the least handicap-accessible buildings he's had to go in and out of this summer. He's sure there are worse ones out there, but he knows his family has made sure anywhere he goes is easy for him to navigate on crutches. This building is old and littered with 3 or 4 steps here, then another set half a hallway down. Jordan doesn't know why someone would do this, but he's got no intention of going into architecture, so maybe there is a reason. Jordan knows he's got sweat on his brow when he finally gets into the room he's supposed to meet the admission specialist in. He probably looks disheveled and worn out, but 3 knee surgeries in 4 months has drained him of any will to care about how he looks to complete strangers. He has his high school transcripts in his bag, a copy of his application and admission essay, and a couple of letters of recommendation from past coaches and teachers. The lady who meets him looks a little concerned for him, but he waves off her offers of water or some time. "No, thank you," he tells her. "I'd really just like to get this over with." He pulls out all of his paperwork and sets it on the table between them. "I know my grades aren't the best, but I never really thought I'd be going to school. They were predicting me to be in the top 20 of the draft." The lady winces, because she might be a university administrator, but hockey is still hockey, and they're still in northern Alberta. She reviews his paperwork, asks a few questions, reads the letters. She glances at his leg a few times, but never asks, and Jordan doesn't tell. They admit him into a general education track with the ability to specialize later. He doesn't really know what he wants to do. Whatever it is, he wants it to be as far away from the ice as he can. Jordan doesn't know if he gets special treatment because he blew his knee out or because he was a hockey player or what. But by the time he gets back to his sister, he doesn't care. He wants to sleep, to not have to deal with so many steps, and to never talk about hockey again. Jordan is admitted to the school and allowed to register within 3 days of his visit. School starts on the 3rd of September. Jordan is given a room assignment and a roommate. His roommate is a quiet kid named Nick, who knows hockey because he grew up around it, but really couldn't give a damn about who played it and what teams were winning. Jordan tells him wryly that that was a good thing, since the team in their new home away from home was having issues. That first year, Jordan watches from afar as the Oilers trail the entire season. They end the season 6 points back from the playoffs, but never close enough to taste it. Every now and then, Jordan still dreams of orange and blue and flying down the ice, but mostly he keeps himself focused away from hockey. He falls into a group of girls who are working at getting their undergrad in pre-veterinary studies. He's not sure how he fell in with them, but they're a group of abrupt girls who don't have any patience in class for kids who ask dumb questions. Jordan meets them in an intro to biology class, and when they set up their schedules for their next set of classes, one of the girls makes sure he's in the same science track as them. Jordan has never wanted to work with animals. He has never wanted to deal with sickness and death. But he doesn't have anything else to do, because all he's ever wanted to do was play hockey, and that's not an option anymore. Sometimes he catches himself in arguments with kids on campus. He fights and nitpicks the Oilers' season, and he fights and nitpicks people who make brash generalizations about the NHL. The kids who he hangs around with have some idea that he used to play hockey, but no one mentions his limp, the fact he can't walk very far, the fact he sometimes shows up with crutches. Sometimes he has a bulky knee brace over his jeans, sometimes a smaller one under them. He goes home for Christmas, and his parents try really hard. He'd really only ever gotten hockey gear and video games from Christmas, and they don't know what to do without hockey gear to give. Jordan's sisters and brother still step quietly around him. His brother is playing in juniors this year, working his ass off to get a little bit of notice, and Jordan goes to one game over the holidays. He doesn't say anything about the game after, because he knows, and his brother knows, that Dustin isn't going to make it, isn't going to end up rumored to be a top 20 pick. When the hockey season ends, it's like a weight lifts off Jordan's shoulders, one he didn't even know was there. It lets him focus on the last part of his school term. The one-year anniversary of his knee comes and goes, with tense phone calls from his family. He goes to the doctor. They tell him he's doing good, that his knee is doing better than expected. The fact he walks without crutches at all is a miracle, they tell him. Jordan nods and doesn't say anything, because a miracle would be him back on the ice, and anything less than that is just sheer determination. When Nick first met the girls Jordan was hanging around with, he'd raised an eyebrow and told Jordan they were terrifying. Jordan sort of agreed, which is why it made total sense for Jordan and Nick to get a house with two of the girls, Katie and Irina. The other three girls in their group, Jessica, Amy, and Morgan, are renting a place a few blocks over. Jordan gets dragged along with the girls, deeper into the life of a pre-veterinary studies degree. Jordan still isn't sure he wants to get into vet work. He takes a class, without the girls, on HR, and sort of falls in love with it. He's always been a good speaker and had enough PR work in juniors that he excels in the class. While the girls go further and further towards their goal to become vets, Jordan turns his attention towards a career working with them. He keeps taking science classes with them because it's interesting, even if he doesn't want to do it for a living. When he meets with an advisor for the human resource management degree, the professor seems to think that the science classes can't hurt. If anything, it will allow you to understand the people you're managing, he says with a rueful smile. Jordan takes that to mean he's been in a few situations where he hadn't understood. Jordan leaves his second year in Edmonton with a degree concentration and a renewed lease on their house. The Oilers end the year dead last, 12 points behind Toronto, who is in 29th place. Justin Schultz is still playing in Wisconsin. Jordan doesn't blame him. In 2010, the Oilers draft Taylor Hall, number one overall. Jordan watches the draft alone in his room, and Taylor's face reminds Jordan of all the things he could never have. Taylor's an amazing player. Jordan remembers playing against and with him in tournaments and camps over the years. He knows his smile is wide and unassuming, and he gets mad fast, but it's all flash and burns off quickly. Jordan keeps track of the rest of the draft picks. And that night, his dreams of orange and blue and slick passes tape to tape are stronger than they have been in years. Jordan's course load his third year's enough to make him wonder how guys play hockey and go to school. He spends too much time in the library, and even more time in the computer labs and science labs. And he's so grateful his roommates are usually his lab partners in the science ones, because if they weren't, he's not sure he'd even remember their faces. Nick gets a girlfriend in the beginning of the year, and they run fast and hard until March, when they crash and burn in a spectacular fight in the front yard, which is still knee-deep in snow. Jordan watches with avid fascination, because he's never really seen a breakup like this before. He was too focused on hockey to date much, and he'd lived with his grandparents in Regina, so he hadn't had any other guys around who did date. Now, living in Edmonton, he's never really met someone he's wanted to get to know. The girls don't count as they made him hang out with them. Jessica, who Jordan sometimes forgets doesn't live with him, watches Nick and Becky's breakup with him. "We should have made popcorn," she tells him, when the fight looks like it's winding down. Jordan knows he shouldn't agree with that, but he kind of does. When Nick stomps back into the house, he stops short of the sight of them in front of the window. The look on his face is one of defeat and pain, and Jordan knows those things all too well. "Come on," he tells Nick, heading into the kitchen. "I just got a brand new bottle of JD that needs some love." Jordan's fourth year comes with an internship at an animal shelter. The Edmonton Humane Society is pretty awesome, a no-kill shelter that's warm and brightly lit and always full of extremely adoptable animals. Jordan finds out on day one that they pick the best of the best from Animal Control and the City Pound and bring them to the shelter, and Animal Control has to deal with putting completely healthy animals to sleep because no one wanted them, or they were just a little too hard to adopt out. He already knew reality sucked, but this one is painful. Jordan really wants to take every kitten and puppy home with him, but he doesn't. He helps find fosters for the ones too young to go to real homes and helps fit people to the right animal. He watches as people leave so completely enthusiastic about their new critter, only to return a few days later with a list of complaints that were covered in the warnings the shelter staff repeats over and over again to every potential adopter. Jordan's job is mostly working with the staff and volunteers, and liaising with the Pound and Animal Control and other rescues. There's a couple of smaller veterinary practices in the city that do their own rescue and adoptions, and sometimes Jordan helps trade litters of healthy kittens from there in return for them taking some of their more prickly cases. A diabetic senior cat, a blind dog with a limp who's perfectly healthy, a litter of kittens with feline leukemia. A few weeks before Valentine's Day, someone from TSN calls the shelter. They ask if he's aware of the show Cappy presents, which, yes, he is, because he's not dead or living in the Yukon. They want to film at the shelter in a few days with a few of the Oilers. Jordan consults with the director, but in the end, they agree to it. Their lawyers drop some paperwork, which Jordan faxes off to TSN, who fax him a stack of papers in return. When the players show up a few days later, Jordan's mouth goes dry. He can usually ignore the hockey career he didn't have, but days when people from his past are pushed up into his face are harder. Jordan swallows the pain and the jealousy and heads out to meet everyone. Jordan has never met Cabby Richards, Magnus Pjarvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, or any of the filming crew. None of them even blinks at him. Taylor Hall's mouth drops open. "Jordan?" he asks, his voice pinching a little at the end. Jordan gives him a half smile. "Hey, Halsey." "Where the hell have you been, man?" Taylor says, pushing forward into Jordan's space to hug him. Until that moment, Jordan didn't realize how much people don't touch him anymore. None of the shelter staff do more than lay a hand on his arm, and the girls and Nick will touch him gently, but no one ever risks pushing him off balance. Jordan didn't realize until right that moment that he'd been craving the casual touch that hockey players took for granted. Jordan grins up at Taylor then. "You know, school, work," he tells him. Cabby has been studying him, which is a little unnerving, and he picks then to speak up. "You're Jordan Eberle. You were supposed to be in the 2008 draft," Cabby says a little slowly, like pieces are falling into place. Jordan nods, and Taylor steps back, but he throws his arm around Jordan's shoulder instead of backing away. Taylor tugs at him a little, and Jordan has to shift sideways. His knee tweaks, and he can't really do more than bite his lip and blanch as he lets out a sharp sound at the pain. Taylor looks down at him, concerned, but Cabby speaks up again. "Your knee." Jordan shrugs. "Destroyed, basically," he tells him. Tells everyone, because the other two Oilers are staring at him and the filming crew looks like their day just got a hell of a lot more interesting than it was supposed to be. Taylor's arm tightens around his shoulder, but it doesn't make him move. Jordan relaxes against him just a little. "But come on, TV awaits. You guys can set up wherever. The dogs are through the hallway over there," he points. "And you can go into any of the doors marked with green, but only the ones marked with green," he tells Cabby, an eyebrow raised. Cabby nods. Taylor leaves Jordan behind, but he clearly doesn't want to. Jordan smiles at him, a soft smile he'd smiled at Taylor a lot over the years of camps and tournaments, and heads back to the small office that's been designated as his. Taylor comes by the next day Jordan is working. Jordan doesn't know who gave his schedule out, which they shouldn't have done, but he can't be too mad at whoever did it. Taylor has damp hair and is in sweats and sweatshirt under his coat and hat. "Hey," Taylor says, leaning in the doorway. Jordan looks up. "Hey, Halsey. You got time for lunch?" Jordan looks at his watch, then nods. He has 2 hours until he has to be back to school for a session review with part of one of his bio classes. "I'm pretty much done here, so you get me until I have to go to class." Taylor nods, and Jordan levers himself to his feet. His knee is always weakest when he's been sitting for a little bit, and it always takes a minute or two for it to take his weight. He could use crutches or a cane, but if he doesn't have to, Jordan doesn't like to use them. There's always a bit of pain in his knee in the winter. In the summer, there's a few weeks where if he's careful, it doesn't hurt. He figures if he moved somewhere like Phoenix or Florida, it would hurt a lot less. But Jordan loves Alberta. More than that, he loves Edmonton. Taylor doesn't rush him. He hands him his coat and a scarf hanging by the door, and Jordan smiles and thanks. As they're walking out of the building, Taylor keeps cutting glances at him. "You got a place you'd like to eat?" he asks when Taylor's looked at him and away for the fifth time. Taylor shrugs. "Wherever's good for you." Jordan nods, and when they get to the car park, Taylor breaks off for his own truck. Jordan's truck is smaller than he'd like, but he has to be able to get in and out of it with his leg, and it has to be automatic since he can't always use his left leg. Jordan leads him to a diner near school, but far enough away it's not just college students. It's afternoon, but Jordan orders the French toast anyway, because he always gets the French toast here. Taylor orders a scramble. They talk about a lot of bullshit while they wait. People Jordan half remembers and hockey stuff that Jordan has tried his hardest to forget. Taylor asks about the shelter, about school. None of it, even when Jordan is at his most reluctant, is awkward. When Jordan has to leave, Taylor offers him his phone. "We should keep in touch," he tells him. And Jordan has to smile at how earnest he is. Jordan gives Taylor his number, though he doesn't really think Taylor's going to call him. And he's half right. Taylor's shit at calling people, even at talking on the phone. But Taylor texts him at least a few times a day, stupid things he wants to share with Jordan or asking him about his day. Jordan is pretty sure no one really wants to discuss his senior seminar or his capstone class or discuss his major paper he's working on editing. But Taylor keeps asking. Taylor continues to text him even as the Oilers' season spirals further and further into the ground. Jordan doesn't ask about hockey, not just because of the Oilers' season, but because talking hockey with someone who plays it is a little more than Jordan can handle. In the first week of March, Taylor comes by the Humane Society when Jordan is working. He has someone with him, and it only takes Jordan a few seconds to realize it's Tubes. "Holy shit," Tubes says, basically gaping. "When you said you had someone I needed to see, I didn't think you'd found Ebbs." Jordan half smiles at his old friend. He hadn't intentionally disappeared from his old teammates, but talking to them in the beginning had been too painful, and by the time he didn't feel like he was drowning whenever they were mentioned, it had been so long that Jordan didn't know what to say. Tubes stands a few feet from him, a little unsure, shuffling from foot to foot awkwardly. Taylor rolls his eyes and reaches out, grabbing Jordan's arm. He tugs him forward, but not hard enough to make him move if he doesn't want to. It's only been a few weeks, but Taylor seems to know exactly how to handle Jordan and his knee. Jordan comes closer. "How you been?" he asks. Tubes shrugs. "Just got traded to the Oilers. Could be worse." Jordan grins. "Hey, Edmonton is great, man." Tubes nods, but still looks a little cautious. "Yeah, it's pretty awesome. How long have you been up here?" "I'm just about through getting my degree," Jordan says. "I started the fall after." Tubes doesn't ask after what. There's only one after that he could be talking about. "How is that treating you?" Jordan laughs. "Dude, I don't know how guys go to school and play hockey. School is fucking hard." Tubes laughs with him. Taylor leans back against the wall, smiling, and Jordan can tell he's feeling damn proud of himself at the moment. In the end of March, Taylor calls Jordan. "Hey, so I don't know how much hockey news you watch, but I'm okay." Jordan is a little bit confused, but he's got his laptop in front of him, so he Googles Taylor. There's 5 or 6 new news articles, and every one of them is about a season-ending shoulder injury. What? He trails off. He has no idea what to say to this, how to react. He can feel himself tensing up, memories of the first month after his injury flickering at the edge of his consciousness. I'm fine, Taylor tells him softly, and Jordan relaxes a little. I'm not the first person with this problem. The doctor I've got is really fucking good, okay? Hork had the surgery a few years back, and he said it feels better than ever after. Jordan nods, even though Taylor can't see him, and tries to breathe normally. Finally, he takes a deep breath, then sighs it out. Yeah, okay. I leave for Cleveland tomorrow. You think you have time to hang out tonight? Taylor asks. Jordan doesn't really have time to hang out, but he doesn't really care. Yeah, sure. Where? Taylor's quiet a moment. You think you'd be okay coming here? Here means Taylor's place, where he lives with Sam Gagne. The other roommate had been traded at the trade deadline at the end of February. Jordan has never been there. Taylor hasn't pushed him to become a part of the hockey side of his life, and Jordan was okay keeping himself separate. Taylor's been to Jordan's a few times, but more than anything, they meet up at out-of-the-way diners and coffee shops when Jordan has some time to spare. Jordan doesn't know if he can face someone else from the hockey world. He's never met Sam Gagne, and he's not sure he's ready to. But Taylor wants to see him. Sure, Jordan says finally. Yeah? Taylor asks. And Jordan knows if he says no, Taylor won't hold it against him. Text me your address. I'll be there in a little bit, okay? The house Jordan pulls up in front of looks just like every other house on the street. Inside, it looks like every other bachelor pad Jordan has seen. The TV is a little nicer, but other than that, you wouldn't be able to tell this wasn't a college house from the stuff inside. Gagne isn't there, so it's just Taylor and Jordan. Taylor offers him a drink, Gatorade, coconut water, or OJ, but Jordan shakes his head. Come on, Taylor tells him, leading him towards the stairs. I've got to pack my bags and stuff. After 4 years, Jordan is pretty good at stairs. He knows it looks a little funny, but he has to do it just right so his leg doesn't give out. Taylor doesn't say anything, and he lets Jordan take all the time he needs, then leads him down the hall. Taylor waves towards his bed and the desk. Sit wherever, man, he tells him, grabbing a half-filled duffel from the floor. Jordan sits on the bed so he can stretch his leg out. It's been giving him a little trouble, mostly because he's been so busy with school, he's been ignoring his PT some. He gets a little tense this week every year anyway, because he still doesn't sleep well around the anniversary of his last game. Jordan doesn't know how long he sleeps for. The last thing he remembers is asking Taylor about the surgery and the rehab, and then the next thing he knows, he's waking up. Taylor's sleeping on the other side of the bed. It's still light out, so it's not too late. Jordan sighs, but doesn't move, because he hasn't been sleeping well, and Taylor's bed is comfortable. Whatever he does, though, seems to wake Taylor up, because Taylor rolls onto his side and blinks at Jordan. Sleep good? He asks, voice rough with sleep. Jordan nods, then yawns. Yeah. They lie there in silence for a few minutes, and Jordan drifts a little. Finally, Taylor rolls away and up off the bed. Come on. I'll feed you, he tells Jordan. Jordan snorts, but sits up anyways. Dude, you've told me about your kitchen skills. Either I make the food or you order in. Taylor laughs. He doesn't leave his room, though, just waits patiently as Jordan coaxes his knee to take his weight. It only takes a minute or two, usually. But Jordan has found most people are pretty impatient with the whole thing. Going downstairs is actually harder than going up. And Jordan is really glad the railing in Taylor's house is sturdy. Jordan watches Taylor out of the corner of his eye, and he almost smiles the third time Taylor almost reaches out to help him. Jordan has always been really bad about accepting help from other people. Even when he was still in rehab, struggling to do anything because of the pain. He'd hated being dependent on others. He reaches out and grabs onto Taylor's arm now, though, even though he doesn't really need to. It'll go a little faster if he has the railing on one side and Taylor on the other, but he doesn't care about the speed. He just doesn't like watching Taylor hold back like that. When they get to the bottom of the steps, Jordan leans down and rubs his knee for a moment, then straightens back up. "So, do you even have food I can cook?" Taylor laughs and heads into the kitchen. He shrugs and waves at the fridge. "I have no idea, really." Jordan pokes around their kitchen. They have pasta and some frozen chicken and a head of lettuce. Jordan unearths some wraps and a few peppers that have got to be used soon from the looks of them. Taylor sits on the other side of the island, watching him cook. They talk about the meeting Jordan has with the professor the next day, which Jordan is actually nervous about. The professor really doesn't like him for reasons Jordan can't even fathom. Luckily, the TA for the class does like him, so his grades haven't been affected. But just the thought of the required one-on-one meeting makes Jordan cringe. Jordan is in the middle of explaining what effect that class has on his major paper when the door opens and slams shut. "Hey, Halsey, whose truck is..." Sam Gagne cuts himself off when he comes into sight of the kitchen. "So then I guess the truck is yours." Jordan nods, watching Sam carefully. "Yeah." Sam looks between the two of them. "Sam Gagne." "Jordan Eberle," Jordan says, after a moment of consideration. Sam nods. He doesn't seem to know who Jordan is, so Jordan relaxes. "I'm making food because Taylor can't. Want some?" Jordan asks, focusing back on the meal he's making. Sam grins. "If you're cooking, not Halsey, sure, I could eat." Jordan snorts, because hockey players can always eat. Sam wanders away, and Taylor prods until Jordan continues talking about his paper. When Sam comes back just before the food is ready, Jordan pauses and Taylor rolls his eyes. "So, does he have to approve what you say?" he asks to keep Jordan talking. Jordan shrugs. "Not really. I mean, if he thinks it's wrong, then he can get the paper thrown out, but he'd have to prove it." "I have no idea what you're talking about, but it doesn't sound like fun," Sam tells him, sitting down beside Taylor. Jordan smiles a small smile. "My major paper. I have to complete one to graduate." Sam shakes his head. "School is crazy, and I'm so glad I never had to go." Jordan nods, the smile slipping off his face. Taylor sighs but ignores Sam's comment. "I'm sure your paper will be fine, dude. You've spent enough time on it. Do you even remember who your roommates are?" Jordan laughs. "Sure. Amy, Jessica." Taylor tosses a piece of paper from the counter at Jordan, though it falls to the counter before it reaches him. "Yeah, I'm sure the girls would love to know you were getting them confused." Jordan laughs more instead of responding, turning the stove off and starting to dish the food up. He dishes Sam more than either him and Taylor. Sam has a game against the Stars the next day, while Taylor is headed off to Cleveland, and Jordan has figured he'll spend at least 6 hours locked in the library. They're pretty quiet as they eat. "This is good," Sam tells him, partway through. "Thanks." Jordan smiles. "No problem." Taylor doesn't let Jordan clean up, though he does a pretty half-assed job of it himself. Jordan laughs and points this out, but Taylor just shrugs and tugs gently at Jordan, leading him into the living room. "Pick a movie," Taylor tells him. Jordan flips through the movie channels before picking something he vaguely remembered the previews for. Taylor seems pretty into the movie, but Jordan's mind is still racing through his work, and before he knows it, he's waking up from where he's curled up against Taylor and the credits are rolling. Jordan tries to sit up, but ends up doubling over in pain because of his knee. "Fuck!" he breathes out, gripping his leg and trying to loosen it up. "Jordan?" Taylor asks, and Jordan can tell how worried Taylor is. "Sorry," he tells him, when the pain recedes enough for him to sit up. "Dude, don't be sorry," Taylor snaps. "Can I do anything?" Jordan side-eyes him, then shakes his head. No, I mean, probably don't let me fall asleep like that again, he half asks, half jokes. But it just happens sometimes. Taylor nods. Okay. Jordan stands up when he thinks he can, but his knee won't take his weight at all. Fuck, Jordan growls, sitting down hard. Taylor's just watching him worriedly. Jordan tries another time, but his knee isn't letting him put any weight on it at all. Aye, Jordan frowns. Do you think you can help me to my truck? Taylor nods. Yeah, I can. How? What about your house? Jordan shrugs. Someone can run my crutches out to the truck for me. Taylor frowns. Are your roommates home? Jordan thinks about it for a moment, but he's honestly not sure. It's after 9 on a Tuesday night, but that doesn't really mean anything with their schedules. Probably. Taylor rolls his eyes. Either you stay here tonight, or we get Sam to help run you home. Jordan sighs. Taylor, I'll be fine. Just help me to my truck. Dude, come on, just... Taylor trails off, and Jordan can tell he's frustrated and trying not to show it. Yeah, fine, okay, Jordan says, reaching out and grabbing Taylor's arm, not sure how to help. He really doesn't want to be the reason Taylor's upset. I'll stay. You got a blanket or something? He really should be studying instead of sleeping, but his leg hurts, and his painkillers are at home, and Jordan doesn't want to deal with any of it. Taylor looks at him dubiously. Dude, sleeping on the couch for half an hour fucked your leg up. Let's get you upstairs. Jordan doesn't bother fighting Taylor on it. Taylor loops his arm around Jordan's waist from his left side once Jordan's up on his feet and takes all the weight Jordan will lean on him. It's slow going, and Jordan is frustrated before they even get to the stairs. They're almost to the top when Sam comes out of his room. He raises an eyebrow at them, but doesn't say anything, just slides along the wall to head down. Jordan groans when he finally sits down on the bed, ignoring the way his leg twitches as he falls onto his back. Taylor smiles down at him, but Jordan can tell he's still worried. You got an extra toothbrush? Jordan says, wincing at the thought of having to get up and go to the bathroom after he finally got to the bed. Taylor nods and wanders into the ensuite. Jordan hears him digging through some stuff, but lies on the bed and closes his eyes, trying not to think. You okay? Sam asks from the doorway of Taylor's room. Jordan opens his eyes and looks over at him. I'll be fine. Old injury. Sam nods slowly. You're that kid from the 2008 WLH playoffs, right? Jordan raises an eyebrow. Sam snorts. Yeah, sorry. You were big news. TSN ran a bunch of stuff on you. About the play, about making Junior safer for kids. Jordan rolls his eyes. Whatever. It wasn't even that bad of a hit. Sam smiles at him. Yeah, I know. That's why nothing ever happened, I think. Sucks, though. It gives you trouble often. Jordan shrugs as best he can while still lying down. Yeah, I guess. I don't need to use my crutch as much anymore, and it sucks every time I stand up. But I'm not in a wheelchair, so... Sam winces when he mentions the crutches. Jesus, I guess I never really thought about what happened to you after. Jordan laughs. Yeah. No, probably for the better. I wasn't really into talking about hockey for a while. Taylor makes a noise, and when Jordan looks over, he's standing in the bathroom doorway. You still don't. Jordan smiles ruefully at him. Yeah. There's a toothbrush in there, Taylor tells him. Jordan sighs and pushes himself up. Taylor comes over to help him stand, and when Jordan looks up again, Sam is gone. Jordan is really glad to get back to the bed by the time he's done in the bathroom. Taylor lets him deal with stripping his jeans off, and Jordan takes time to readjust his knee brace. When he looks over, Taylor is standing at the end of the bed, watching curiously. Jordan thinks about it for a moment, then starts undoing the brace. He lets it fall open and glances up, watching Taylor's reaction to massive scars and scar tissue on his knee. 3 surgeries means a lot of scars. Jesus, Taylor breathes out, moving forward. He leans in and reaches out, like he wants to touch, but he stops at the last moment. You can, Jordan tells him, his voice tight. No one besides doctors and nurses has touched his leg since he injured it. Taylor touches his knee lightly, running his fingers down one of the scars and back up another. When he pulls back, Jordan looks at him, and Taylor staring at him seriously. Taylor doesn't say anything as he backs away. He watches Jordan reset his brace, then grabs one of the pillows. He starts away from the bed, and Jordan frowns. The couch isn't gonna mess up your shoulder more, is it? Taylor shrugs, smiling at Jordan. Don't know, but it's okay. Not gonna matter for long. Jordan rolls his eyes. Whatever. Don't hurt yourself for me. Your bed is huge, man. Just sleep here. Taylor pauses. You sure? Jordan nods. Dude. Taylor grins and throws the pillow at him. Jordan laughs and tosses it behind him as Taylor shuts his door. Taylor strips out of his jeans and his t-shirt, though he pulls on a different one. It's large and oversized, and the logo and the year tell him it's from the IIHF U18 games in 2008. Jordan has to close his eyes and take a deep breath, because he was supposed to be there. He would have played with Taylor if he'd gone. He opens his eyes when Taylor settles on the other side of the bed. You okay? Jordan gives him a half smile. Yeah. Thanks, Tay. Taylor flips the bedside light off and pulls the covers up. Jordan's not used to having another person in bed with him, but he falls asleep before he can decide if he likes it or not. In the morning, Jordan's knee hurts, but it holds his weight. He's limping bad, and when he leaves his house later, he plans on using his crutches, but he can make it to the bathroom on his own. Taylor makes scrambled eggs, which he assures Jordan he can make, and the two of them eat quietly. How are you getting to the airport? Jordan asks, when he's putting his plate in the dishwasher. Taylor rolls his eyes. One of the trainers, they insisted. Jordan nods. They're quiet as Jordan gets his shoes on and finds his coat. Taylor insists on walking with him out to his truck, and Jordan doesn't even try to pretend Taylor isn't watching carefully to make sure he doesn't fall. Jordan turns around, getting ready to hoist himself into his truck, but Taylor lifts him up and in so fast, Jordan doesn't even have time to protest. He sits silently for a moment before he sighs and rolls his eyes. I do okay, he tells Taylor quietly. Taylor shrugs. I know. And hey, he grins, knocking his hip into Jordan's good knee. Next week, I'll need you to do shit for me, so think of it as me getting on your good side. Jordan raises an eyebrow, but doesn't respond. Instead, he shifts, so he's all the way in his truck. Let me know when you land, eh? Taylor nods. Jordan can't help but look in his mirror before he turns the corner, even though Taylor has gone back inside. Taylor texts him when he lands and then doesn't really stop texting him until he goes into surgery. He only gets a couple of texts from Taylor for the next 2 days, and Jordan gets it. The first few days of rehab are the worst. Taylor texts him late on the second day after surgery and tells him he's flying in the next day. Come see me after work? Jordan shouldn't, but he's had his one-on-one with the professor who hates him, and all he's got left on his paper is cleanup. Amy has volunteered to edit it, which Jordan doesn't want to edit it, and he likes the subject, so he's not sure why she's willing, but he'll take it. Yeah, but I gotta bring homework, he settles on, finally. Grin, 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 is all he gets back. When Jordan knocks on the door, Sam answers. Jordan can hear other voices and has to take a deep breath as he follows Sam inside. Jordan! Taylor sounds really excited to see him, but Jordan has a feeling it might just be the drugs they gave him so he could fly. Hey, Tay, Jordan says, leaning over so he can mess with Taylor's hair. He nods to the other guys, whom he recognizes vaguely as Oilers. They let you take a double dose for flying, didn't they? Taylor squints at him, and Jordan laughs. Oh, whatever. It's not like I don't know, eh? He shoves at Taylor's good shoulder to make him move over, but he makes sure it's soft enough not to mess with Taylor's other shoulder. Taylor moves over anyways. He doesn't move his arm, though, so when Jordan sits down, it's basically wrapped around his shoulders. Jordan side-eyes Taylor, then glances at Taylor's teammates, who look curious but not surprised, so Jordan relaxes. I'm Jordan, Jordan says, when it becomes clear that Sam and Taylor aren't going to introduce him. I'm Ryan. We met at the shelter, I think. Jordan nods. Yeah, we did. He gets introduced to three other guys, Alesh, Anton, and Jeff. Taylor's pretty quiet through the whole thing, and Jordan keeps an eye on him to make sure he doesn't shift too much as he dozes. Taylor comes awake a little later, making a face, and Jordan knows it's probably time for more meds. What time did they give you the double dose? Jordan asks Taylor. The conversation around them slows while Jordan wheedles information out of Taylor. When Jordan is satisfied he can give Taylor another pill, he pushes himself up, helping his knee and testing it, before he limps towards the kitchen. He comes back with a glass of water and Taylor's pill bottle. He raises his eyebrows at the stares from Taylor's teammates, but doesn't say anything as he convinces Taylor to take the pill and drink all the water. You have like 20 minutes, and then he's going to be talking to the house hippos, Jordan tells the rest of them. Sam snorts and Ryan laughs, but the other three look confused. House hippos? Anton asks. Like little hippos that you have in a house? Jeff glances between Jordan and Sam, clearly skeptical. Jordan blinks, then looks over at Sam. You have failed gravely in your education of these guys, he tells him, faux serious. Sam laughs and gets up, running upstairs. He comes back down with a laptop. Jordan, Ryan, and Sam giggle their way through the video, while the other three stare in avid fascination. Beside Jordan, Taylor is giggling with them, his reaction time getting slower and slower. It hasn't been 20 minutes, but when Sam shuts his laptop, Jordan gets back to his feet. His knee protests a little, but he ignores it and helps Taylor up. Come on, bedtime for you. Taylor mumbles something as Jordan helps him up. Taylor clearly needs someone to support him, but it's Taylor's left shoulder that is in the sling, and Jordan can't support his right side. Not with his left knee as it is. I'll get him upstairs, Sam tells Jordan, sliding under Taylor's good arm. You sticking around? Jordan shrugs. You gonna be here? Sam shakes his head. We leave tonight, headed to Anaheim. We play the Kings after that, then we'll be back on Tuesday morning. Jordan sighs. Yeah, I'll stay tonight then. I can probably get away with staying most of the day tomorrow. He'll be so out of it, I'll have plenty of time to study. Sam laughs. Yeah, okay. I'll get him into bed so you only have to go up the stairs once tonight. Jordan rolls his eyes. Whatever Taylor thinks, I climb stairs every day of my life just fine. My room's on the second floor at my house. Sam doesn't respond. Just starts tugging Taylor up the stairs. When Taylor and Sam have disappeared, Jordan turns around and finds all four of their teammates staring at him even more curious than before. Jordan watches them for a second, then rolls his eyes and heads for the door. I'll be right back, he tells them. He takes his time going out to his truck to get his bag and his crutches. He doesn't know if he'll need them, but Taylor isn't going to be able to help him get around if he fucks up his knee, so he figures it's better safe than sorry. Alesh, Jeff, Anton, and Ryan are deep in a quiet conversation when Jordan comes back in. He heads towards the kitchen island, dropping his bag on a stool and leaning the crutches up against the wall. He pokes around the kitchen, making a face at the options he has. None of the food there will settle particularly well with Taylor's pain meds, except maybe the oatmeal. He opens the canister and sniffs it. It seems pretty okay. He leaves the oatmeal on the counter and pulls out his phone. Emergency grocery run for me and a friend. He's laid up after shoulder injury, pain meds making his diet weird. He texts Jessica. All of his friends have been awesome about helping him with this kind of stuff over the years. He pays them back as much as he can, most recently by bringing them to the Humane Society to cuddle kittens. Sure, baby. Hourish? Jordan smiles. You got time. He just took a new pill. He sends her his grocery list and Taylor's address. He grabs his stuff and heads towards the living room, pausing by the foot of the stairs. Good luck in California, he tells them. Ryan smiles. Thanks, Everly. Jordan starts because Ryan remembering his last name isn't something he'd expected. It's a hockey thing, he knows. He's pretty sure he hadn't been called Jordan since Pee-wee, back when it had been co-ed and he'd played with a girl named Jordan. Now, of course, it's different. Most of the kids he knows from college call him Jordan. He's Ebbs in one class, where there are three Jordans, but the other people in the class call him Jordan when they see him around campus. Eberly? Jeff asks. Jordan half smiles. Yeah, Jordan Eberly. Jeff stares at him for a moment, then nods slowly. Thanks for looking after Halsey. Jordan laughs. It might be a little harder for me to lug him around, but I have a pretty decent idea of how he feels right now. I've done rehab like this 3 times. Jordan is over being bitter. He has to be. Being bitter isn't going to get him anywhere and isn't going to make anything easier to deal with. It stings a little that Taylor's going to get better and nothing anyone can do will fix Jordan, but he'd never wish his situation or anything like it on anyone. Jordan heads upstairs then. Sam waves at him from his room as he passes it. A few minutes later, he hears the guys downstairs yell out about leaving. He settles in at Taylor's desk, pushing his laptop to the side and pulling out his own. He's deep in taking notes on some required reading when Sam knocks on the doorframe. I'm off. I'll leave Halsey's keys on the counter for you, so you can come and go. Jordan smiles at him. Thanks. Good luck. Jessica brings food for him and Taylor an hour or so after Sam leaves. She sticks around for a little bit, but doesn't let Jordan feed her. Jordan makes enough food for him and Taylor, then sticks it in Tupperware for the trip up the stairs. When he gets back up there, he wakes Taylor up. Hey, here, he tells Taylor when he sits up groggily. Eat, then you can go back to sleep. Taylor tries to tug Jordan down onto the bed with him when they're done eating. Jordan laughs. No, I gotta do more work, he tells Taylor. Taylor makes an agreeable sound, but doesn't let go of Jordan until he falls asleep. Jordan works pretty late that night. He doesn't hesitate for more than a moment before he settles onto the other side of Taylor's bed to sleep. Taylor's meds cut down the next day. He's quiet, though, and turns the TV on low while Jordan works. When Jordan finishes working on what he needed done for the next day, he packs his bag and settles down next to Taylor. How much robot chicken do you have DVR'd? He asks. Taylor huffs a little laugh. A lot. I don't watch it much during the season, so it just kind of builds up. I think it records over itself at some point. Jordan rolls his eyes, laughing with him. Yeah, okay. After they eat, Jordan makes Taylor take one of his pills. Take them at night, dude. Trust me. You'll think you're fine until you wake up. Taylor finally agrees. Jordan makes sure he has a glass of water, then hovers at the foot of the bed for a moment. I'll come by tomorrow, okay? Taylor pouts a little at Jordan leaving, but Jordan ignores it. Call me if you need anything, he tells him before he leaves. Jordan keeps his phone on vibrate and goes through his Monday distracted. No one says anything. Most of the other kids in his class is probably blaming it on how close to graduation they are. All of them are pretty distracted in their own right. Jordan checks on Taylor Monday night, then again on Tuesday night after Sam is back. Thursday starts out just fine. On his way between office hours with a professor and a study group, Jordan checks his phone to find a text from Taylor. Last home game of the year. Wanna go? Jordan blanks. He puts his phone in his pocket and keeps walking, headed vaguely in the right direction, but he isn't looking where he's going. He hasn't been able to cut hockey out of his life completely. He tried that first year after he was hurt, and he knew he failed by the time November came around. But since he was injured, he's only been to that one game of his brother's, hasn't even watched more than highlights on TV, and he isn't sure he's ready to change that yet. His phone beeps, reminding him of the study group, and Jordan shakes it off. He pushes the idea of watching hockey to the back of his mind and heads into the library. "Sorry, busy," he texts Taylor back when he gets to their group room, turns off his phone, and pulls out the books he needs. Taylor doesn't text him until the season is over. The Oilers go on one last road trip to Vancouver over the weekend. Jordan knows that Taylor didn't go and has to fight the urge to text him and ask him if he needs anything. Taylor knows he can call if he needs to. The Oilers season was better, but it was still pretty abysmal, despite the bright spots. Everyone around town has something to say about it, but Jordan buries himself in his coursework and keeps quiet. Late on Wednesday, a week and a half after the end of the season, Jordan collapses on his couch with most of his roommates to watch what he thinks is X-Men Evolution. They'd said they were going to watch The Last Airbender, but Jordan is pretty okay eating pizza and watching anything that doesn't have to do with human resources or business management or biology. Amy and her boyfriend are over, and Jessica had said she might stop by later. Jordan is pretty sure he's just going to settle into this place on the couch until it absorbs him. Irina comes inside in a swirl of spring snow, wet and thick even if it doesn't stick around for long, talking to someone. Jordan ignores Irina and whomever she's with in favor of trying to figure out what this extremely gothic version of Rogue is going on about when a hand touches the back of his head. Jordan doesn't jump, but it's a close call. He tilts his head back and looks up into Taylor's face. He stares for a moment, in surprise, then shifts to stand up. "Hey, no, it's okay. I just came by to see if you had some time for food, but Irina said there was pizza on the way," Taylor tells him, and Jordan stays seated. He shrugs. "I could eat something other than pizza." Jordan is aware that the rest of the room is watching them. Nick has a speculative look on his face that makes Jordan want to wince, and the girls are watching like they're better than Teen Wolf. They're pretty obsessed with the show, so Jordan is a little afraid of his personal life being more interesting. Taylor glances over at the others, then back to Jordan. "Come on, then. I'll buy you a burger." Jordan laughs and stands. His knee has given him trouble all day, and it's snowing again, so he doesn't hesitate more than a moment before he grabs his crutches. Taylor's seen his knee. There's not a lot Jordan has to hide after that. The ride is quiet. Taylor takes him to an out-of-the-way burger joint. They don't talk much until their plates are mostly clear. Jordan's pretty much just using the fries in front of him to move the sauce on his plate around when Taylor reaches out and touches his hand. "Are you okay?" Taylor's voice is soft, unsure, and confused. Something inside of Jordan breaks at the sound of it. "Yeah," he tells Taylor. "Sorry about the other week." He waves, trying to let Taylor know he means ignoring him, how abrupt he'd been, how he'd reacted to the idea of hockey. Taylor shakes his head. "It's fine. I just... did I do something?" Jordan starts a little at that. He knew sometimes that he got a little lost in the idea of everything going wrong because of his knee. He blamed his knee for a lot of things, and in the early days he'd blamed it for everything. But Taylor had only ever known him as a mostly functioning college student and had never seen this before. Jordan pauses, not really sure he knows what to tell Taylor. "No, Tay, I haven't watched a real hockey game since, and the idea sort of freaked me out. And before, I dealt with everything by throwing myself into hockey, and I can't now, so I just ignored it, all of it, anything that was hockey." Taylor stares at him. "You haven't watched any hockey?" Jordan shrugs. "I've kept up with it a little. And I watched the draft the first couple of years. I'm into one of my brother's games. I don't know, I really want to still be on the ice." "Wow," Taylor drawls out, leaning back in the booth. "I didn't... I really didn't know Jordan. Jordan gives him a smile. I know, and I really didn't mean to freak out on you. Taylor's quiet for a long moment, and Jordan starts to fidget with his fries again. He really hadn't meant to freak out on Taylor, but more to the point, he hadn't been planning to tell Taylor he'd freaked out at all. Come on, Taylor tells him, finally standing up. Taylor waits patiently as Jordan gets situated on his crutches, and then leads him back to the truck. Jordan isn't really sure where they're headed. He half thinks Taylor's taking him back home, but Taylor doesn't drive in that direction. He stops at a hole-in-the-wall ice cream parlor that Jordan didn't even know existed. He's pretty sure, before they even get out of the truck, that he'd have liked to have known about this place before his first set of finals, though. Taylor orders a chocolate and caramel ice cream that Jordan side-eyes, but he ends up with coconut and chocolate instead. They eat their ice cream in silence, and Jordan relaxes as the silence goes on. You should come skating with me, Taylor says as he finishes licking his spoon clean. Jordan pauses with his spoon halfway to his lips. I can't skate anymore, Tay. Taylor shrugs. Then you don't skate, but you should come with me to the rink. Jordan doesn't know what to say. He doesn't really know how to react to this. Maybe, he finally settles on, when you're clear to skate again. Taylor raises an eyebrow, but nods. Jordan looks away and finishes his ice cream. Taylor stays in Edmonton for rehab. Jordan knows he could have done his rehab just about anywhere, but Taylor claims the trainers he wants to work with, the team trainers and an outside rehab specialist, are in Edmonton, so he's staying for the summer. Jordan makes sure to see Taylor a couple of times a week. Though as graduation looms closer, the time Jordan gets to see Taylor becomes smaller and smaller, and a few times Taylor shows up and hangs out with him while Jordan studies. Taylor doesn't seem to mind, so Jordan stops worrying about it. He gets an unexpected Thursday night free just before finals, and instead of working on his paper like he knows he should, he calls Taylor. You should find something exciting to do since I can give you all of my attention tonight, Jordan tells him when he picks up. Taylor laughs. Sure, but like only for a few hours. My mom is flying in tonight for the weekend. Jordan vaguely remembers Taylor telling him this before, but anything not relating to his finals has sort of taken the back burner for the moment. Oh yeah, sure. Whatever, I'll pick you up in half an hour, eh? Taylor tells him, and Jordan knows he's rolling his eyes. Jordan huffs a laugh. Sure. Jordan and Taylor hang out at Taylor's. Jordan has never seen the show they're watching before. Jordan doesn't really care. He's only partially paying attention to the TV. Taylor doesn't seem to have any interest in doing anything more exciting, so Jordan lets himself half doze. Jordan is careful not to fall asleep, though, not wanting a repeat of the first night he'd been at Taylor's. After he shifts two or three times in just a couple of minutes, Taylor pulls him so he's lying down on the couch, his head in Taylor's lap. The next thing Jordan knows, he's being woken up by his phone. Hello? Hey, you should get up. I'm on the way back with my mom. We'll go get food. Jordan sits up, running a hand through his hair. Do you have any food here? Taylor laughs. Dude, you don't have to cook for me and my mom.
Oh,
Jordan yawns.
You shouldn't make your mom eat out after traveling all day.
Taylor's quiet for a minute.
All right, yeah, there's some food. Call me if I need to stop and pick anything up.
Jordan pokes around the kitchen and texts Taylor to pick up bread. It's not complicated, but the food is pretty much ready when Taylor gets back. Taylor leaves his mother's bags by the stairs and comes into the kitchen. He leans over Jordan's shoulder to look at what he is cooking. Smells good. Jordan grins and slides out from in front of him. When he turns around, Taylor's mom is standing there watching them. Hi, he says, stopping. He's not really sure what to do. Taylor turns around. Jordan, this is my mom, Kim.
Mom, this is Jordan. Taylor's mom gives Jordan a smile, but he can see her curiosity. Jordan wonders what, if anything, Taylor has told her. Hello, Jordan. Thanks for cooking. Jordan shrugs. No problem. Dinner isn't particularly awkward, but Jordan is really ready to go by the time Taylor volunteers to take him home. Their ride is quiet but not uncomfortable. Finals start Monday? Taylor asks, when they pull up to Jordan's. Jordan nods. Yeah, papers due Wednesday. I have a smaller paper due by Friday, 2 in-class finals and a presentation. And the fucking ceremony. I don't know why my mom wants me in it so bad. Jordan is going to walk in the ceremony because his mom asked, but he doesn't really want to. The girls and Nick are all going to be in it too, though, so at least he has that. Taylor smiles. Gotta do what your mom wants, he tells him ruefully. What time is your graduation? Jordan shrugs. Like 11, I think. Really early. Taylor laughs. Yeah, okay. We should celebrate after. Maybe Sunday night? Jordan glances over at Taylor out of the corner of his eye, then straightens up. Do you? Did you want to come? Jordan asks. Yeah? Taylor asks. He sounds hopeful. Jordan smiles. Yeah, I mean, if you want. Taylor reaches out and taps Jordan on the cheek. Call me if you need someone to distract you for a few minutes, okay? Jordan ducks his head, Taylor's hand falling away. Sure. See you. Finals week always blows by for Jordan. Each in-class final feels like the longest yet shortest 2 hours of his life, but every other minute seems to disappear. He does some last-minute formatting and binding for his paper and has it turned in by 10 a.m. on Wednesday. His last in-class final is 2 to 4 p.m. on Thursday. He gets a smaller paper slipped in his professor's inbox on Thursday night, a record 12 hours before it's due. Friday night, they have a party at their house. It's Irina, Katie, Jessica, Amy, Morgan, Nate, and their significant others, plus an assortment of neighbors and classmates. Jordan passes out on top of his covers somewhere around 1 a.m., drunk and content and relieved it's over. His alarm, which he'd set before he started drinking, goes off way too early. 8 a.m. seems like cruel punishment the day after he's finally done, especially after the party the night before. Jordan is dressed and mostly coherent by the time his family shows up at 9:30. Jordan doesn't invite them in, just comes out into the yard to head to school. His mom looks over his shoulder and makes a face at him, which Jordan returns. The house is a mess, and he knows it, but that's why he didn't invite them in. Katie's parents pull up then. Jordan stops paying attention when his older sister pulls him down into a headlock. He's laughing and trying to tickle her when his other sister and his brother stop laughing at them. Shit, Dustin breathes out. Jordan looks up. Taylor's standing at the edge of their group, a slight smile on his face. Hey, Jordan says, extricating himself from his sister's now slack grip. Sorry it's so fucking early. Taylor laughs. I'm not the one who drunk dialed at like 1 a.m., man. Had to come way earlier for you. You drunk dialed him? Irina asks as she comes out to greet her parents, stopping beside Jordan to give him a look. Jordan shrugs, giving her a sheepish smile. I guess. I don't remember much past the double touchdowns. Nick laughs from behind them, slinging an arm around each of their shoulders. Those were great decisions. Jordan slides away from Nick and hugs Taylor. Thanks for coming. Of course, Taylor tells him, and his voice is soft. Jordan looks at him questioningly, but Taylor shakes his head. Jordan turns around and finds his siblings staring at him outright, and his parents trying to be more subtle about it. Jordan rolls his eyes. Guys, this is Taylor. Taylor, these are my sisters Whitney and Ashley, my brother Dustin, and my mom and dad Lisa and Darren. Taylor gives them a half wave. Hey. Dustin blinks at them for a second, then seems to shake off his stupor. You're Taylor Hall. Taylor ducks his head, even though Jordan knows he's not really shy about it.
Yeah.
And you're friends with our brother, Whitney says, though it sounds like she's interrogating Taylor. Taylor raises an eyebrow, and Jordan sighs. Yeah, he is. Now I gotta go get my crutches, and then I have to head up. Taylor puts a hand on his lower back. I got them. Jordan stares at his family while Taylor goes inside, a little bit defiant, not too sure what their deal is. They don't have time to say anything before Taylor's back outside with Jordan's crutches and his cap, which he shoves onto Jordan's head crookedly. Jordan laughs, shoving at Taylor's good shoulder before straightening his cap out, then taking the crutches from Taylor. Guess we should get the show on the road. It's a pretty large group of people. All of those who are actually graduating have to be there a little bit early, so they leave their families behind to come up in a little while. Jordan worries about leaving Taylor behind with his siblings, but Taylor holds his own with the hockey team, so Jordan figures he'll do okay. Maybe. Graduation is as boring as Jordan expected it to be. He leaves his crutches behind and walks up on his own, albeit a little slower than everyone else. There's a few handshakes, a fake diploma handoff, and a photo op. And then he has to go back to his seat. After, Katie and Jessica, who have known each other since junior high, are headed out to lunch with their families. Irina's family is meeting her boyfriend's family for the first time. Morgan disappears right away, hugging everyone, and Nick and his family are going bowling. Don't ask, Nick tells him, looking pained, as the two of them strip out of their cheap gowns. It's a thing. Jordan just laughs at him. Family means doing strange things sometimes. His family wants to go to lunch as well. Taylor hangs back awkwardly, so Jordan tells his mom and dad to figure out where they want to go and breaks away from them. His real dinner will be in a week or so when he goes home for a weekend, and his grandparents and aunts and uncles are coming to Calgary, too. Taylor smiles at him when he stops in front of him. Congratulations. You're officially smarter than me. Jordan laughs. Like that was ever in question. Taylor rolls his eyes, and when someone behind Jordan knocks into him, he puts his hands on Jordan's hips to steady him. You good? Jordan nods, suddenly unsure. Yeah. We're still on for tomorrow night, right? Taylor's hands tighten their grip on his hips. Yeah, for sure. We'll go somewhere fancy, eh? Jordan smiles softly. If you want. Taylor doesn't say anything to that, just stares at him. He looks serious and really determined. Tay, Jordan asks softly. Don't hate me, Taylor tells him. And before Jordan can respond, he leans down and kisses him softly. Jordan's eyes fall closed and his hands come up to rest on Taylor's shoulders, gripping his shirt tight. The kiss is fairly chaste, all things considered, but the firework under Jordan's skin tells him he wants it to escalate quickly. Unfortunately, Jordan's family is a few yards away, probably watching them with avid fascination. There's also hundreds of other graduates and their families milling around them. Jordan is finding it hard to care about any of these things. Taylor pulls back first, and he smiles down at Jordan softly. Tomorrow, okay? Today you should celebrate with your family. Jordan mock scowls at Taylor. My degree just became the least interesting thing in the world, Jordan tells him. I am in for an entire afternoon of Spanish Inquisition on my relationship with you. Taylor laughs at him. Good. I spent all last weekend with my mother dropping disapproving hints about making my boyfriend cook for her when she didn't even know I had a boyfriend. Jordan can't help the giggle that bubbles up in him. He pushes Taylor back gently. Go. I'll text you later. Taylor darts forward and kisses him softly once more before he backs away and disappears into the crowd. Sunday night, Taylor takes Jordan to a fancier restaurant than Jordan's ever been to in Edmonton, and they both smile shyly at each other through the entire thing.
After, when Taylor takes Jordan home, he kisses him soundly before he lets him go inside. 2 weeks after graduation, Jordan moves into a tiny one-bedroom apartment closer to the Humane Society. They'd offered him a new job, one more suited to his degree. Jordan had taken it without a second thought. Jordan spends a lot of his downtime with Taylor. Taylor is working his way through a lot of intense PT, which Jordan understands. It makes Taylor cranky and irritable at points, and needy and touch-starved at others. Jordan gets it all, and does everything he can to make it easier on Taylor. Just after Jordan moves into his new place, Jordan comes up to his apartment after they go to dinner. Taylor steps into his space, hesitating for a moment, before he kisses him soundly. They've made out a bit since the first time they kissed. One night at Taylor's, they ended up on the couch, Taylor straddling Jordan while they made out until their takeout was delivered. But it hasn't gone beyond that. Something tells Jordan that if he lets it, tonight might be different. Taylor has one hand on the side of Jordan's face, the other settled on Jordan's waist, and Jordan can't help leaning into it. They stand there kissing in the entryway for a while. When Jordan finally pulls back, it's only so he can look up at Taylor and whisper, "Stay." Taylor's eyes go hot and dark at that. "Fuck, Jordan." He leans down and kisses him hard. "Yes." Jordan doesn't really remember the two of them making it to his room, but he does remember Taylor pulling his shirt off of him and pushing him down onto the bed, gently. He remembers the way Taylor trails kisses down his torso, biting and licking along the cut of his hips as he gets Jordan's jeans off, then licking and sucking on the head of Jordan's dick. Taylor's still there in the morning, sprawled out on the other side of Jordan's bed. Jordan can't help but shift across and kiss him awake. June bleeds into July, and it's the time of the year Jordan loves, because there are whole days when his knee doesn't bother him. He spends an entire day off at Taylor's house, laying out in the sun and doing nothing. Taylor spends part of that afternoon with the trainer, and when he gets back, he bursts out laughing. "Have you moved at all?" he asks. Jordan opens one eye and half glares at Taylor. "Once," he tells him, "I had to pee." Taylor laughs again before settling down beside him in the sunshine. The last week of July, Taylor texts Jordan while he's at work on Thursday and tells him to come over after, that they're going out to dinner. "What's up?" he texts, because they go to dinner a lot, but most of the time it's not planned. "Surprise," Taylor texts back, and Jordan only frowns for a moment before he goes back to working, putting it out of his mind. Working at the Humane Society means that Jordan wears okay jeans and a t-shirt to work. He keeps a button up in his office in case he needs to look nicer for something, but for the most part, everything he wears to work ends up covered in fur and drool. Taylor knows this, so Jordan figures they're not going anywhere too nice. Jordan lets himself into Taylor's house, calling out as he wanders into the living room. Taylor comes down the stairs, and Jordan grins at him. "Ready?" They go for tacos at a place they'd both loved before they'd met. They don't go there very often, though, and Jordan knows that whatever Taylor's going to tell him isn't bad, but might upset him. When they're done, finishing off the beers they'd had with their food, Taylor leans back, messing with the label on his bottle. "So?" Jordan asks. Taylor smiles slightly. "I'm clear to skate." Jordan blinks, because he's not sure how this is supposed to upset him. And then he remembers. "Oh." Jordan takes a deep breath and shifts in his seat. "That's good." Taylor raises an eyebrow, but doesn't say anything. Jordan rolls his eyes. "I'll go to the rink with you." Taylor grins at him then, and Jordan thinks it will probably be worth it for that alone. Jordan goes with Taylor to the rink on his next day off, the following Monday. He doesn't go onto the ice, but he sits on the bench while the trainers work with Taylor. Taylor doesn't try and convince him to skate either. He'd taken one look at Jordan's probably pale face and asked if he was okay, if he was sure he wanted to do this. Jordan didn't comment on it, just sat on the bench and watched. He goes with Taylor a few more times. The smell of the ice is the thing that haunts him the most, more than watching someone else skate or the sound. He hasn't been to a hockey game since his brother's, the Christmas after his injury, and he doesn't know how watching a game will make him feel. Jordan hasn't really paid much attention to the lockout rumors, at least no more than the average person. Taylor doesn't seem to feel too good about the situation, though, and by the time camps usually start, Jordan is starting to think like Taylor. One night, after a pretty decent training session for Taylor and a long day at work for Jordan, Taylor spills his fears about it. Jordan listens, though he doesn't have much to tell Taylor. "Where will you be if the lockout happens?" Jordan asks him. Taylor shrugs. "Probably Oklahoma City, after I'm clear to play." Jordan sighs, but doesn't comment on the distance, because the second Taylor is clear to play, Jordan wants him out there. Keeping someone off the ice longer than they need to be is something he'd never think about. Taylor playing in Oklahoma City is harder than Jordan thought it would be. They're okay for the first few weeks, but the summer has gotten Jordan pretty used to sleeping in the same bed as Taylor, or at least getting to see him fairly often. Thanksgiving comes and goes, and Jordan gets an extra long Skype call, but Taylor is still stuck in Oklahoma. American Thanksgiving comes and goes. For Christmas break, which is a few days long in the AHL, Taylor flies home. Jordan talks to him a couple of times, but he's still in Edmonton, and his family's in Calgary, and Taylor is in Kingston. When the lockout ends in the beginning of January, Jordan can't help but feel relieved. He's sure there are plenty of hockey fans across the continent who are more than excited for the season to start, but really, Jordan is still unsure as to how many NHL games he'll actually watch. He's just glad his boyfriend is coming home. They spend Taylor's first night back in Jordan's bed. They go back to Taylor's the next day. Sam is there along with their new roommate, Ryan Whitney. Both boys greet Jordan like a friend they haven't seen in a while, neither of them shocked to see him or to find out Taylor has been in town but hasn't come home. Jordan knows Taylor's pretty sure of himself. They've talked about what coming out would mean. Jordan's family's in the loop, thanks to graduation, and Taylor's mom knew before they did. But Jordan doesn't really want to push being the first openly gay player on Taylor. Taylor doesn't seem to care about people knowing, though he seems pretty sure about not hiding it. The first few practices that the Oilers hold are intense. Jordan goes to one, but he makes sure to be back to Taylor's house before any of them so he can feed all three of the guys living there. He knows just how much energy they're expending and how to stuff as many calories as he can into a meal. Ryan and Sam seem grateful, if quiet about it. Taylor shows him how much he appreciates it by curling around him in bed at night. The first night, he tells Jordan he's never getting free, that he has to stay there forever. Jordan knows he's joking, but he's not sure Taylor knows it. Jordan's not sure he wants him to be joking. Towards the end of the month, Oil Change asks Taylor, Sam, and Ryan if they can do a segment at their house. There had been a hint of a clip when Taylor was a rookie, but it hadn't been very in-depth. They agree to a mostly free Monday. Jordan plans to go back to his house the night before, but the three guys living there work extra hard on getting him to stay and make dinner for them. Jordan has Monday off, and Taylor lets him sleep through the early morning practice the three players have. Jordan is just out of bed when the guys come home from practice. They're all hungry, so Jordan doesn't think twice before starting breakfast. Sam makes approving noises when Jordan pulls out bacon and pancake batter and heads into the living room with Ryan to play a round of Call of Duty. Taylor settles into the kitchen with Jordan, both of them quiet. Jordan isn't very talkative when he first wakes up, and Taylor never tries to fill Jordan's sleepy silences up with chatter. They're halfway through eating when the Oil Change crew shows up. Jordan offers them food, though they all decline. He catches the camera guy taping them and frowns a little. Instead of taking seconds, he stands up and puts his dishes in the sink,
stopping behind Taylor's chair on his way out. "I'll see you later," he says quietly. Taylor reaches up and grabs Jordan's hand. "Hey, no, stay." Jordan meets his eyes.
"You sure?"
Taylor nods. "Yeah, yeah, I am." Jordan's smile is slow but wide, and he lets Taylor pull him down onto his lap with a laugh. The end.